Ezrat Hashem, we continue in our limud in Masechet Moed Katan. We are up to Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. However, we are on the last two lines of Daf Yud Bet Amud Bet, where it says Veshole Pishtano Min Hamishra. This limud is Leilui Nishmat Baruch Ben Shelomo, Shelomo Ben Reuven, Erez Ben Miriam, Shaul Ben Latifa, Shulika Bat Chana, Esther bat Ladisi and Simcha bat Ladisi alehem ha-shalom. The Mishnah told us that Veshole Pishtano min ha-mishra, one is allowed on Chol HaMoed to draw out, to take out his flax from the soaking water so that it shouldn't get ruined by being soaked too long in water. And then it said in the Mishnah, on condition, as long as he doesn't plan from the beginning, from earlier, to do it specifically on Chol HaMoed. And the Mishnah ended off by telling us, V'chulam im kivnu melachtan b'moed yovedu. The Mishnah tells us a knas, that anyone who planned to do a certain melacha on Chol HaMoed from beforehand, even though it's davar ha'aved, but if you specifically scheduled for it that it should be done during Chol HaMoed, then Yovedu, it should be lost. You're not allowed to benefit from it. That's a knas. So regarding this, Ba'em ine Rabbi Yirmiyah Merabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question from Rabbi Zera. Kiven melachto b'moed v'emet. Let's say a person did so. Let's say a person planned from the beginning to do the melacha on Chol HaMoed. And he did it, but then he died after he did it. So now the question is, Mahu sheiknesu banav acharav? What is the halakha? Do we penalize, do we punish his children as well? That they also have to lose the product of their father's work? Are they not allowed to enjoy it as well? Or was it only a knas on the father? Or on both? That's the question that Rabbi Yirmiyah is asking Rabbi Zera. And he says, Im timatzeh lomar, even if you want to tell me, in the following case, in the case of Tzaram Ozen Bechor, Kansu Beno Acharav. Now, by the Bechor, there is a halakha. Bechor means the firstborn of an animal that has Kedusha. And we know it has to be brought as a korban, and now nowadays where we cannot bring it as a korban, so therefore we're only allowed to have it if a mum, if a blemish occurs to it. If a mum happens, then we are allowed to enjoy from it. However, if no mum happens to it, then we have to just let it die. We're not allowed to slaughter it and to eat it. Let's say a person, what did he do? He purposely made a blemish in it. He cut its ear. Tzaram ozen bechor. He slit the ear of the firstborn animal so that it has a mum. The halakha is, if a person purposely put a mum into the bechor, so he is not allowed to have hana'a from it. That's a knas. So the Rabbi Yirmiyah says, even if you want to tell me that in that case, kansu beno acharav, that even his children afterwards are not allowed to have hana'a from it, that's different. Mishum de isura de oraita. Over there, we're dealing with the isur mi de oraita. But you can't learn from that case to our case, because by us, it's different. The case of kiven melachto b'moed, if a person planned to do the melacha in Chol HaMoed, that's not a isur de'oraita. That's only asur mid'rabanan, because we're talking, after all, about a melacha that is allowed to be done. It's davar ha'aved. He's allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed. It's just that Chachamim said, you're not allowed to be mechaven melachto b'moed. So we're only dealing with isur mid'rabanan. So we can't compare the case. Maybe in our case it's different, and we would not penalize the children. Here's another case you might think to learn the halakha from. Let's say a person sold his eved to a goy. Now, as Rashi brings down over here, Chachamim made a knas that yatzal lecherut, that he automatically goes free. And let's say, for example, if he ran away from the goy that that the Israel sold him to, the Israel can no longer repurchase him and work him and have him as his slave. He no longer can be a slave for him. That's a knas. And Rashi says, "Ve'imet en banav yechorim lechufo." And if he died, if the original owner, the Israel, died, then his children as well cannot force him to be their slave either. So we see a case where the children are also penalized because of what the father did. So even if you want to tell me that case, we still cannot learn from there to mechaven melachto b'moed mishum de kol yoma mafkale mimitzvot. Over there it's different, because the reason why the father who sold the slave to the goy is niknas, is penalized, it's because every day that slave, when he is in the possession of the goy, he's not able to do mitzvot. As you know, even an Eved Kenani, when he's owned by the Jew, is chayav b'mitzvot ke'isha. But now that you sold him to a goy, he cannot do the mitzvot. So you put him in a situation where he's not able to do the mitzvot, mimela, the original owner, is punished that he can never use him as a slave anymore. And therefore, we understand the chumrah, since it's so serious, that's why the children are also, they cannot be the owners either. However, in our case, maybe it's different. Hachamai, in our case of mechaven melachto b'moed, what is the halacha? Gavra kanis rabanan vehalete? Is it that the chachamim were kones, they penalized the person who did the melacha, who was mechaven melachto? Vehalete, and now he's no longer. So you're not penalizing the children, so they would be able to have hana'a. O dilma, or maybe mamona kanis rabanan, or maybe the chachamim imposed the penalty on the money itself, which means on the item, that on the product of the melacha that was done on Chol HaMoed, that no benefit can be derived from it. If the knas was made on the mamona, on the money, so then vehaite, it still exists in the hands of the children, and they're also not allowed to have hana from it. So that's the question. Was the knas that Chachamim made here in the Mechavin Melachto B'Moed, was it put on the person, or was it put on the item? Amar Leh, so Rabbi Zera answered Rabbi Yirmiya, Tenituha. We already learned the answer to your question from a Mishnah in Masechet Shevi'it Perek Dalet. It says there, Sadeh shenitkavtsa bashvi'it, a field that was cleared of its thorns, nitkavtsa sheesiru kotzim, that they removed the thorns from that field during the shvi'it year, tizara lemotza'e shvi'it. It is allowed, this field is allowed to be sown, is allowed to be planted on the eighth year, because removing the thorns is not a full-fledged melacha that makes the field asur. So therefore, he didn't really do a isur on Shevi'it to give him a knas that he's not allowed to benefit from the field on the eighth year. Nitaiva o nidaira. But let's say, nitaiva, let's say you fertilized the field during the Shevi'it. Or nidaira. Nidaira is another way of fertilizing it, by making sure you close in all the animals on the field. They can't go anywhere, so they're going to go all around and fertilize it with their manure. That's called nidaira. So if, let's say, nitaiva or nidaira, if that's what you did during the seventh year, lo tizara lemotza'e shevi'it. The Chachamim made a knas that the person is not allowed to benefit from this that he did be'isu, and he's not allowed to sow this field on the eighth year. Ve'amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina said on that Mishnah, Naktinan, we have a masoret, we have a halakha by tradition, hetiva ve'met, if let's say if the person fertilized the field during Shvi'it, but then he died, beno zo'a, his son is allowed to sow the field on the eighth year. Alma, we see from here, ledide kansu rabanan, the Rabbanan were kones, they put a penalty on the person himself who did the melacha asura. Libre lo kansu Rabbanan, but not to his son Hachanami. So over here also regarding the mechaven melachto b'moed, ledide kansu Rabbanan. Rabbanan only made the penalty on the person himself. Libre lo kansu Rabbanan, but not to his children, not to his son. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Naktinan, we have another halakha by tradition, Timet Taharotav Vemet, not related to Chol HaMoed, but Stam, in regards to the halachot of Nezikin, of causing damage to another person's property. Let's say the type of damage that you caused was Timet Taharotav. You were Metameh, things that were pure, that belonged to your friend. So things that were pure, foods, let's say, that were pure, that were tahor, you made them tameh. And before you had a chance to pay up, vamet, the person died. Now, the payment for such damage is a knas midrabanan. It's not a payment that is midinen ezikin midoraita, because this is not a tangible damage. But there is a knas that you have to pay for it, because after all, you rendered it useless to the owner. But Abaye says, Timet ta'arotav vamet, if he died and wasn't able to pay, lo kansu beno acharav. Chachamim did not obligate the son to pay up this penalty. Mai ta'ama, what's the reason? Hezek she'eno nikar lo shme hezek. This is a kind of damage which is not nikar, which is not evident, it's not visible to the eye. So this is a type of hezek which ledide kansu rabanan, the knas of paying up for it, is only on the person who actually did it. Libre lo kansu rabanan, but the chachamim did not penalize the son to pay for it. Next Mishnah. En lokhim batim avadim ubehema ela letzorech hamoed. On Chol HaMoed, we are not allowed to purchase houses or slaves or cattle. Ela letzorech HaMoed, unless it's for the sake of the Chag. O letzorech HaMocher, or for the need of the seller, the one who sells it, he needs money. She'en lo mayochal, he doesn't have anything to eat. So then you're allowed to buy the house or the avadim or the behema on Chol HaMoed. Otherwise, such purchases are not to be done during Chol HaMoed. Be'amine Rava me'Rav Nachman. Rava asked the question from Rav Nachman, Sechar pe'ula she'en lo mayochal. What about paying wages to a worker who doesn't have what to eat on Chol HaMoed? Are you allowed to give him a job to do and to pay him for it in that case during Chol HaMoed? Mahu, what is the halacha? Amarle, he told him, what's the question? Tanina, it says in our Mishnah, O letzorech hamocher she'en lo mayochal. You see that for the purpose of someone who doesn't have what to eat, you're allowed to sell the home. So in this case also, you would be allowed to give him work to do and pay him his wages. La'atuye mai, lav la'atuye sechar pe'ula. These extra words of she'en lo mayochal, doesn't that come to include sechar pe'ula? Paying wages to a worker? What do we need these extra words of she'en lo mayochal? The Mishnah already said, letzorech hamocher. So now I know, letzorech hamocher, you're allowed to sell a house. Why did the Mishnah have to add the words she'en lo mayochal? Didn't this come to include another case? The case of po'alim who don't have what to eat? Amar lelo. He told him, no, that's not necessarily a proof. Pirusheka mefaresh. The Mishnah is just explaining, what does it mean, letzorech hamocher? What does it mean that you're allowed to sell a house for the need of the seller? She'en lo mayochal, in the case where he doesn't have what to eat. But we don't have proof from there necessarily that any worker that doesn't have what to eat, you're allowed to give him work to do on Chol HaMoed. So Rava rejected the answer that Rav Nachman gave him. Eti ve'abaye, so Abaye asked on him, from a Mishnah, later on Daf Yudchet Amud Bet, it says in the Mishnah, En kotvim shtare chov b'moed. Let's say you have a malve and a love, a lender and a borrower, so you're not allowed to write a shtar chov, you're not allowed to write a loan document, a promissory note on Chol HaMoed. You can't give loans with a shtar chov on Chol HaMoed. Ve'im eno ma'amino, however, if the lender doesn't trust the borrower and he's concerned that without a shtar chov he's not going to be able to collect, or she'en lo mayochal, or if let's say he doesn't have what to eat and he needs the money, so hare ze yichtov, then you are allowed to write the shtar chov. So Abaye says, she'en lo mayochal, these extra words, she'en lo mayochal, le'atu yemai. What case is it coming to include? Lav le'atu yesechar pe'ula, isn't it coming to include that if it's as wages for a worker, let's say the sofer who is writing the shtarot, he needs money. And so you give him an opportunity to make money by hiring him to write the shtar. And because en lo mayochal, let's say he needs money on Chol HaMoed. So isn't this the case that it's coming to include when it says she'en lo mayochal, that you are allowed? Shema mina, you see from here that you are allowed. For the purpose of sechar pe'ula, it's mutar on Chol HaMoed. Motiv Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet asks from a Mishnah in Masechet Psachim. And the Mishnah is talking about the Isur of doing melacha on Erev Pesach. It says, V'chachamim omrim, chachamim say, shalosh umanuyot osim melacha be'arve pesachim ad chatzot. There are three types of crafts, three types of professions that are allowed to do melacha work on Erev Pesach until chatzot. Hachayatin v'hasaparin v'hakovsin. The tailors, the barbers, and the launderers. All these works are types of work that are needed for the Chag, and they may do melacha even on Erev Pesach before Chatzot. Hachayatin, so the Braita explains there, Hachayatin, why is it mutar? Sheken hediot tofer kedarko b'chulo shel moed. Because we find by Chol HaMoed as well, that hediyot tofer kedarko, there is a way where tailoring is allowed on Chol HaMoed. The hediyot, unskilled person, is allowed to sew on Chol HaMoed kedarko in the usual manner, as we saw earlier in the Masechet. So since a similar labor is permitted during Chol HaMoed, so therefore we could be lenient during Erev Pesach as well. And the same thing, hasaparim ve'akovsim, by the barbers and the launderers, sheken habayim imedinat hayam ve'ayotze mibet ha'asurim, because by Chol HaMoed also we find that someone who arrived from overseas or someone who left prison and he came out on Chol HaMoed, mutarim lesaper ulchabes b'chulo shel moed, they're allowed to cut their hair and they're allowed to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed because they didn't have the opportunity to do so before the Chag. So that's what it says in the Mishnah and the Braita. So Rav Sheshet is asking now, if it's true what you said, that for the purpose of paying wages to a worker who doesn't have what to eat, it's allowed on Chol HaMoed, so then why only these three? Which you found that there is a case, a similar case in Chol HaMoed, which is mutar. So only these three are allowed on Erev Pesach. Kol melachot nami nishteru. So any melacha should be mutar on Erev Pesach. Dehaika sechal peula she'en lo mayochal, because any melacha is basically allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed if it's to pay a worker who doesn't have what to eat. So why is the Mishnah there specifically only saying about these three that are allowed? Because we find by them a similar case of heter on Chol HaMoed. Really, any melacha we can find a heter on Chol HaMoed if it's for a poel she'en lo mayochal. Ela vaday, Rav Sheshet is proving from here that this heter of sechar pula she'en lo mayochal is not a heter at all on Chol HaMoed. Therefore, he proves from here that it's not allowed, because if it was allowed on Chol HaMoed, then the Mishnah would have said that any melacha is allowed on Erev Pesach, because any melacha has a heter during Chol HaMoed. However, matkifla Rav Papa, but on the other hand, Rav Papa asks a very strong question to Rav Sheshet, Ela Me'ata, so wait a second. So according to you, only things that we find similar mamash, that are mutar on Chol HaMoed, should be mutar on Erev Pesach, like those three. But anything else is asur, right? but even according to you, asks Rav Papa to Rav Sheshet, Ela me'ata, binyan lishtere, constructing a building, right? Building on Erev Pesach should be mutar. Sheken kotel ha-gohel irshut ha-rabim, soter u-bone kedarko mipene ha-sakana. Just as we found regarding Chol HaMoed, we learned earlier in the Masechet, that if you have a wall that is tilted towards the public domain, you're allowed to demolish it and to rebuild it in the usual way because of sakana. So we see that there is an instance where building is mutar on Chol HaMoed. So how come it's not listed there in the Melachot of Erev Pesach that are mutar? Because we do find the case by Binyan where it is mutar during Chol HaMoed. Matkif la Ravina, and Ravina also brings a strong case, a strong question. Ela me'ata lavlar lishtere, a scribe, lavlar is a sofer. He should also be allowed to write up documents on Erev Pesach, sheken kotvim kiddushin nashim gitin veshovarim, because the halacha is that on Chol HaMoed, a person is allowed to write a shtar kiddushin, of marriage documents, gitin, divorce, bills, and shovarim, receipts. So because we find that there is such cases where writing, where a sofer is allowed to write, that should also be listed there as mutar on Erev Pesach. Ela amar Rav Ashi. So therefore, Rav Ashi says, this original question of Rav Sheshet, this proof that Rav Sheshet brought, that we're not allowed to do sechar pe'ula lepoel she'en lo mayochal on Chol HaMoed, really, it's not a proof. The question of Rav Sheshet doesn't have a basis to begin with, because Moed a'arba'a asar karamet, are you comparing, are you asking a question from the halachot of Chol HaMoed to the halachot of Arba'a asar, of the 14th of Nisan, which is Erev Pesach? You can't compare both. Moed mishum tirchahu. The reasons for either, for both of them, for each one, is different. By Chol HaMoed, what's the reason for the isur of doing melacha? Because of tircha, because it involves extra burden and work that we don't want to be done during Chol HaMoed. Ubimkom pseda sharu rabbanan. So in a case where there is a loss, chachamim allowed it. And therefore, it's possible to say that by a poel she'enu mayochal, it would be mutar. Arba'a asar mishum tzorech yom tovhu. Whereas the reason why we are not allowed to work on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, is for a different reason, is because of tzorech yom tov. It's in order to be free to prepare for the Chag, and to prepare especially for the Korban Pesach. That's why Chachamim said we're not allowed to do work on Erev Pesach. Midi detzorech yom tov sharu rabbanan. So therefore, over there, you know what's mutar? Things that are connected, that are needed for the yom tov, rabbanan allowed. Such as, what were the three cases that were mentioned before? Right? Saparim, and chayatim, and kofsim, the tailors, and the barbers, and the launderers. These are things that are allowed during the day of Erev Pesach, because they are tzorech yom tov. Midi delav tzorech yom tov lo sharu rabbanan. But anything else that has nothing to do with tzorech yom tov is not mutar. So therefore, the question of Rav Sheshet from the case of Erev Pesach onto the case of Chol HaMoed, and thereby proving from there, is not a question and not a proof, because you cannot compare both. Each one has a different reason, and therefore different cases of heter. The next Mishnah, En mefanin mi bayit le bayit, on Chol HaMoed, we're not allowed to move our possessions from house to house, aval mefanehu lachatzero, but we are allowed to move possessions from the house to the chatzel, to the courtyard. En mevi'im kelim mi bet ha'uman, also we're not allowed to bring home the utensils, the kelim, from the house of the uman, of the craftsman, after he completed his work of fixing them or fashioning them. We're not allowed to bring them from the house of the uman to our house. However, im choshesh lahem, if he's concerned about them, if he's worried that if he leaves them in the craftsman's house, so they might be stolen, mefanan lechatzer acheret, he may move them to another chatzer. So now, the Gemara asks a question. V'ha'amart resha en mefanim klal. The Gemara is trying to understand, how do you understand the first part of the Mishnah? First, you tell me, en mifanim mibayit lebayit. You said we're not allowed to move possessions at all from one house to another. So how is it that the Mishnah then afterwards permits to the chatzel to move from the home into the chatzel? You said, en mifanim mibayit lebayit. So that means en mifanim. So why mifane la chatzel? Why would that make a difference? Amar Abaye, seifa atan lebayit shebechatzer. Abaye says, the continuation of the Mishnah is referring to the house which is in the chatzer, which is in the same chatzer, which means from one house to another, you're not allowed to move objects. That is a big tilcha, that is not allowed to be done on Chol HaMoed. But to move possessions from the house into the chatzer that is right out of the same house, that's not such a big tilcha, and therefore it is mutar. The next case in the Mishnah was, you're not allowed to bring the kelim, the utensils from the house of the uman, from the craftsman's house, on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa says, Badiklan Rava. Our Rebbe, Rava, he tested us with the following question when we were young. And he asked us the following question. Tanan, we learned in this Mishnah, en mevi'im kelim mibet ha'uman, that you're not allowed to bring kelim back from the house of the uman on Chol HaMoed. Uriminhu, but we have another Mishnah. There is a stira from another Mishnah in Masechet Pesachim. Molichim u'mevi'im kelim mibet ha'uman. We are allowed to take things to the house of the uman or to bring them back from the house of the uman, that's molichim umevi'im, ve'af al pi she'enan letzorech ha-moed, even though they're not needed for the sake of the moed. So Rava is asking his talmidim, wait a second, this is a stira. In our Mishnah in Moed Katan, it says en mevi'im kelim. And over there in the Mishnah in Pesachim, it says molichim umevi'im kelim ibet ha-uman. Ve'shaninan le, and we gave him the following answer. We answered him, kan be'arba asar, kan be'chulo shel moed. Which means the Mishnah over there in Masechet Pesachim is talking about Arba'asar, it's talking about Erev Pesach. On Erev Pesach, it's allowed to bring and to take kelim to the house of the Uman. Whereas over here, we're talking about Chol HaMoed. And our Mishnah says that on Chol HaMoed, it is Asur. So over there, when it says, Ve'af al pi she'enan letzorech ha-moed, it's talking about Moed of Pesach. That on Erev Pesach, you're allowed to, even though it's not for the purpose of the Moed. In our Mishnah, it's talking about Chol HaMoed Stam. I ba'itema, or if you want, we gave another answer. Ha ve'ha b'chulo shel Moed. Both Mishnayot are talking about Chol HaMoed. Kan be'ma'amino, kan be'she'eno ma'amino. The Mishnah that says that you're not allowed is bema'amino, when you trust the craftsman, the uman, and therefore, since you trust him, you could leave it by his house until after the chag and take it back after the chag. But kan b'she'eno ma'amino, but the Mishnah there in Psachim that says that you are allowed to take it back from the house, that's when you don't trust the uman, and therefore you're concerned it might get stolen or lost, so then you are allowed. Ve'hatanya, and the Gemara brings support for this in a braita, from a braita. Mevi'im kelim mibet ha'uman. It says in the braita, we are allowed to bring kelim from the house of the uman. Kegon kad mibet ha'kadar. Let's say, for example, a jug from the house of the jug maker. Vekos mibet ha'zagag. Or let's say a glass cup from the glass blower's house. You're allowed to bring them back on Chol HaMoed, because after all, they can be used during the Moed. Aval lo tzemer mibet hatzaba, but you cannot bring home wool from the house of the one who was dyeing the wool. Velo kelim mibet ha'uman, and you cannot bring any kelim, utensils from the house of the craftsman, home to in the Moed, on Chol HaMoed, because they are not needed during the Moed. V'im en lo ma yochal, but if let's say the uman doesn't have what to eat, noten lo secharo umanicho itzlo. Then pay him his wages during the Chol HaMoed, but leave it with him, leave the keli with him, don't take it back on Chol HaMoed. V'im eno ma'amino, but if you don't trust him, you're worried that it may get lost, manicho ba'bayit ha'samuchlo. Then you take the utensil from his house and you leave it in the house that's near him. Ve'im choshesh lahem shema yiganvu, if you still were concerned, maybe they will be stolen, mefanan lechatzer acheret, you're allowed to move them to a different chatzer. Ve'im eno ma'amino, and if you still don't trust the owner of the other chatzer, mevi'an betzin'ah betoch beto, you're allowed to discreetly bring them into your house. So what do we see from here? In the case of Enoma Amino, it is mutar. Okay. However, the Gemara asks, the answers are not fully complete. Taratzt mevi'in molichin kashya. Remember that Mishnah that Rava brought to ask from Masechet Psachim? It said over there, both molichim u'mevi'im. You're allowed not only to bring back from the house of the Uman, but you're allowed also to take to the Uman on Chol HaMoed. So your answer that you gave is good when you said ma'amino or eno ma'amino, that's good to answer the stira of mevi'im. With the Mishnah that says mevi'im, that's when eno ma'amino. You're allowed to take it back because you don't trust them. And the Mishnah that says en mevi'im, that you're not allowed to bring it back from the house of the Uman, that's b'ma'amino. But what are you going to answer about molichin? It says molichin, you're allowed to take it to the house of the Bet Uman. That has nothing to do with ma'amino or not ma'amino. So molichin kashya. In our Mishnah it says you're not allowed, and over there in Psachim it says you are allowed. Dekatanim, because it states en mevi'im v'kol sheken she'en molichim. In our Mishnah it says you're not allowed to bring back from the Uman. Surely you're not allowed to take it to the Uman. So in our Mishnah it says you're not allowed to take it to the Uman. And in Psachim it says you are allowed. That stira you still didn't answer. Therefore, the more correct answer is the first answer. Not kan b'ma'amino, kan b'sheno ma'amino. Rather, the answer is that Mishnah and Psachim is talking about Erev Pesach, and our Mishnah is talking about Chol HaMoed. Next Mishnah, mechapin et haketziot bekash. On Chol HaMoed, we are allowed to cover the ketziot. Ketziot are figs that you spread out on the roof to dry. So we are allowed on Chol HaMoed to cover them with kash, with straw, for the purpose of protecting them from rain or from dew. Rabbi Yehuda omer af me'abin. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're even allowed to be me'abin. What me'abin means, we're going to see in the Gemara. Mochre perot kesut vekelim. On Chol HaMoed, people who sell perot, produce, or kesut, or clothing, vekelim, or utensils, are they allowed to sell on Chol HaMoed? Mochrim betzina letzorech HaMoed. They're allowed to sell them in private and for the sake of the Moed. Hatzayadin vehadashoshot vehagarosot. Tzayadin means fishermen. Dashoshot and garosot are people who grind beans, who make them into cereal, into grits, or into groats, different types of cereals. Those are dashoshot, shet milashon dashim, and garosot. So they're also called bean pounders. Osim v'tzin'a letzorech hamoed. You're allowed to do these types of melachot betzin'a in private, for the purpose of the Moed. Rabbi Yossi omer, hem ichmiru al atzman. Rabbi Yossi says, they were stringent, they were machmir with themselves not to do this during Chol HaMoed. And we will soon see in the Gemara an explanation for this as well. So the Gemara begins going back to the beginning of the Mishnah. Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba v'Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Asi argued as to what the meaning of mechapin and me'abin is, v'tarvayu mishmed Chizkiya v'Rabbi Yochanan. And both of them said their pirushim in the name of Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan. Chad amar, mechapin akloshe, me'abin asmoche. One opinion was, mechapin means to cover the figs lightly with straw, to cover them lightly, with a light covering. Me'abin asmoche. Me'abin means to cover them densely, to cover them with a thick cover. That's what the Mishnah is saying, that Rabbi Yehuda says, Af me'abim, even with a thick cover. And v'chadamar, but a different pirush, the other one said, mechapin, when it says mechapin, which by the way is lashon chupa, yeah, covering. Ben akloshe, ben asmoche. It means both lightly and even densely. What is me'abin, where Rabbi Yehuda says, Af me'abin, ose oto kemin keri. You're allowed to cover them in a way just like a pile of grain. There are two pirushim here, what the Gemara means. It either means, like Rashi explains, Ose otam kemin keri, mechansim otam beyachad kedei sheyu nochim lechasot, to stack up the te'enim, the figs, one against the other, one densely connected to the other, so that it will be easier to cover all of them. Or one pirush in the Rishonim is also me'abim, to make a very, very dense cover with no space between the coverings, so that to cover them very thickly and very carefully. So that's called me'abin, milashon av, thick. Tanya namihachi, we learned like this opinion in the Braita as well. Me'abin ose oto kemin keri, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Me'abin means we're allowed to put the figs together, stick them together into a pile before covering them, in order to cover them well. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, so you see clearly that Rabbi Yehuda, who said in the Mishnah Af Me'abin, is Ose Oto Kemin Keri, which is one of the opinions here of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Asi. Now, regarding the Mishnah of Mochre Perot Kesut V'Cherim Mochrim Betzina. So it said at the end of the Mishnah that the tzayadin, the fishermen, and the dashoshot, and the garosot, the ones who take grain and they grind them, they pound them into grits, into small pieces. So it says you're allowed to do it bitzina, you're allowed to do it privately on Chol HaMoed. But Rabbi Yossi said, hem ichmiru al atzman. So the Gemara is asking, ibay alehu. The question was asked how to understand this last statement in the Mishnah. Hen hechmiru al atzman delo havu avdi klal. When it says that they were machmir on themselves, does that mean that they didn't do it at all? Which means the halacha is you're allowed to do it bitzina'ah in private, and they were machmir not to do it even in private. O dilma, or maybe de havu avde bitzina'ah. Maybe that was their chumrah. The chumrah is to do it bitzina, meaning halachically you're allowed to even do it publicly. And the chumrah was they were machmir on themselves to do it only bitzina. So the question is, how do we understand here the chumrah of the tzayadin? What exactly was their chumrah? Tashema, come in here, from a braita, mochre perot kesut vekelim, mochrin bitzina letzorich hamoed. As we saw in the beginning of the Mishnah, that they are allowed to sell perot kesut and kelim privately for the purpose of the moed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, Tagare Teveria, the merchants of Teveria, hen hichmiru al atzman, shelo yehu mochrim kol ikar. They were machmir on themselves not to be mocher, not to sell at all during Chol HaMoed. Okay, continues the Braita, tzade chayot ve'ofot ve'dagim. Hunters of animals, of birds, and of fish, fishermen, tzadin betzina letzorich hamoed. They are allowed to do so privately for the purpose of the moed, an chol hamoed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rabbi Yossi says, tzade Akko, the hunters of the city of Akko, henichmiru al atzman shelo yehu tzadim kol ikar. That they were machmir on themselves not to hunt at all. So we see clearly already from this braita that when it says in the Mishnah, echmiru al atzman, it means halachically you're allowed to do it privately only. And they were machmir on themselves not to do it at all. Continues the braita and says, dashoshe chilka targiz vedisni. Those who made, these are three types of cereals, of cracking grains into small pieces. One is called chilka, one is called targiz, one is called disni. So the people who make these type of grits, As we saw in the Mishnah, they're allowed to do so privately for the purpose of the Moed. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Dashoshet Tzipori, the groat makers of Tzipori, Henichmiru al Atzman shelo yehu Dosheshin Kolikar. They were machmir not to do it at all. Okay, so we see from this Braita clearly what the Pirush in the Mishnah of the Chumrah is, that they were machmir not to do it at all. Abaye explains to us these three different terms that we just heard. Amar Abaye, chilka chadaletarti. Chilka means to take one kernel and to break it into two pieces. That's when it's called chilka. Targis chadaletlat, to take a kernel and to break them into three pieces. Tisni chadalearba'a is to take a kernel and break it into smaller pieces, into four pieces. Ki ata Ravdimi, when Ravdimi came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he explained differently than Abaye, that chilka doesn't mean chada letarti, chilka is kunta. Chilka is referring to a different type of wheat. It's referring to kunta wheat. Rashi explains kusemet, which is spelt wheat. Or in English also, it's known as emmer wheat, E-M-M-E-R. Spelt is from the family of emmer wheat. So chilka doesn't refer to how many pieces you break the kernel into. It's referring to the type of wheat. Metive, the Gemara asks a question from a Braita. Chilka targiz vetisni teme'im bechol makom. It says in the Braita regarding the halachot of Kabbalat Tum'ah, chilka, targiz, vetisni are always susceptible to, they're always able to accept tum'ah. Now we know food is mekabel tum'ah only after it becomes wet. Then it's mukshar lekabel tum'ah. So the Gemara says, we see a question. Bishle maleman de'amar chada letarte letlatu le'arba'a. I understand, according to the opinion, which is Abaye, that explained that chilka is one into two pieces, and the other one is one into two, three, and the other one is one into four. Mishum hachi teme'im bechol makom. That's why they're always ready to become tameh. De itkashu, because they have become fit to become tameh. Because after you break them, you rinse them in water. That's part of the process. So therefore, they have become mukhshar lekabel tum'ah after being rinsed in water. But according to the one who explained, chilka is just the type of grain, that it means kunta, it means spelt, so why would it be susceptible in any case to tum'ah? Haloit kashu. They didn't necessarily become kasher. The meaning doesn't involve the process of rinsing them and breaking them. It's just explaining the type of grain. Spelt, if it's not wet, automatically it's able to be mekabel tumah, halo itkashu. But it's not mukshar lekabel tumah if it didn't come in contact with water. So the Gemara answers, kegon de mikalfan. The Braita is referring to a case where the kunta, the spelt wheat, mikalfan, was peeled off. The husk of the grain was peeled off. De'ilav de'shar aleu b'maya lo hava mikalfa. And if it was not soaked in water first, it would not. The husk would not come off. It's not possible to remove it from it, to remove the peel from it, unless you put it in water. Ve'amai kari lechilka. And why, according to this opinion, why is it called chilka? De'shakil chilkayu. Because the husks were removed. Chilkayu, it became chalak, it became smoothened out by removing the husk, removing the shell. That's why it's called chilka. So therefore, it's not a question on that opinion who explained chilka as kunta. Metive, the Gemara brings another question from a braita. Hanoder min hadagan, a person who makes a neder on himself, not to have any benefit from eating grain, from eating dagan. Asur af beful hamitzri yavesh. He becomes asur to have even dry Egyptian beans. Umutar belach, but he's allowed to have fresh ones. Umutar beorez, and he's allowed to have rice. Bechilka v'targiz v'tisni, and he's allowed to have chilka, targiz, and tisni. So that is the Braita regarding Ilchot Nedarim. Mishlema leman de'amar chada letarti, chada letlat v'chada le'arba'a. Shapir, I understand this Braita according to Abaye, who explained that Chilka, Targis, and Tisni is grains that were just chopped differently. One is broken to two, one is broken to three, one is broken to four. So now I understand. The Nafku lehu mitorat dagan. You know why you're allowed to have them? Even the person who made the neder from not to have dagan, not to derive benefit from grain. So why is he allowed in this case? Because once they're broken, once they're crushed into these kinds of pieces, so they leave the category of grain. Yet they're not anymore b'torat dagan. But according to the one who explained, they were not crushed. It's just a different type of wheat. It's the spelt wheat. So that's still a grain. Why would he be mutar? He made a neder from the dagan. It should be included. Kashya. The Gemara says, yes, indeed. That's a kushya on the one who explained kunta. Rav Huna shara lehu lehanhu krufiata. Rav Huna allowed the krufiata. Those are merchants who sell spice. Mochre tevalin. Those who sell spices. Shara lehu lehanhu krufiata lemeza lezabune ki urchayhu beshuka. He allowed them on Chol HaMoed to go and to sell their products in their usual way in the marketplace, in the shuk. Eti v'Rav Kahana, so Rav Kahana asked on Rav Huna's psak from the following Braita. It says in the Braita, Chanut ptucha listav, poteach v'no'el kedarko. If let's say a person's store opens up into a stav is outside of the store, you have pillars that go along the street, which means the store doesn't open up immediately into the street, into the Rashut Arabim. It opens up onto a sidewalk, which has on it pillars, that you can't have a lot of people walking there at the same time. That's called the stav. So in the Braita says, Poteach v'no'el kedarko, a person who has a store that opens up to such a to stav, he can open and he can close his store in his usual way on Chol HaMoed, because it's not so out in the open. It's not in the view of the public because of the stav. Ptucha l'Rashut HaRabim, however, a store that's open in the to the public domain, to the Rashut HaRabim, so then on Chol HaMoed, poteach achat v'no'el achat. He's allowed only to open one door to his store, but the other door he should keep closed. Ve'erev yom tov acharon shel chag, and only on erev yom tov acharon shel chag, on erev shmini atzeret, that's yom tov acharon shel chag, motzi u'me'ateret shuke ha'ir beperot. He's allowed to take out fruit from his store and to adorn the markets of the city with fruit, bishvil kevod yom tov acharon, in honor of the last Yom Tov, in honor of Shmini Atzeret. So what do we see here? Mipene kevod Yom Tov acharon in, only in honor of the last day of the Chag. Then it's permitted for the person to open up his store in order to give people the opportunity to prepare for the Chag. Shelo mipene kevod Yom Tov lo, but if it's not for the honor of the Chag, which means during Chol HaMoed, he's not allowed to open his store in the regular and usual way. So how is it that Rav Huna allowed the spice merchants to sell as usual on Chol HaMoed? Answers the Gemara, lo kashya, ha bepere, ha betevalin. It's not a stira. The Braita that says that you're not allowed to sell in the usual way is referring to selling fruit. Now, fruit is usually bought in large quantities, and you could have purchased it before the Chag. So therefore, if you're going to sell the fruit in the usual way, then it looks like people are buying the fruits even for after the Chag, because they're buying large quantities, and it looks like they're buying even for Shelo Letzorich HaMoed. Ha betevalin, but the psak of Rav Huna, that he was allowing the spice merchants to sell in their usual way, that's dafka by tevalin, that's dafka by spices, because people buy them only in small quantities, and it's only for the sake of the Chag. Rashi also explains, she'en re'uyim li'itkayem, because they're not There are certain spices, he brings kegon kru v'karshinin, certain type of spices, they don't last for a long time, and therefore you buy them in small amounts. And that's why it's allowed on Chol HaMoed, even befarhesia, even out in the open, because nobody will think that you're buying it for after the Chag. It is clearly being bought letzorech HaChag. Hadran alach mi she'afach, hadran alach mi she'afach, hadran alach mi she'afach. We finish here the second perek. Bezat Hashem, tomorrow we'll continue from here into the third perek of Masechet Moed Katan.